TalkZone.com!
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Oh, hello. Here we are. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday and especially
Halloween.
Well, not quite Halloween.
Of October.
Yes, October it is, as we've mentioned all week. What are you laughing at, producer Damon over here?
It's Halloween month.
I'm just laughing.
You reading that his...
he's happy. That's why. You
reading his Mickey Mouse comic books again?
Yeah, don't bring them around me.
Oh, he could be a Power Ranger this time.
No, like I said, it is the beginning of my and Angel's favorite month and Romo's most feared month.
Yep.
Thank you.
You'll
it's
be
true.
Hearing a lot of giggling all through the month, and you'll know why. It is that time of the year. No, not that time. This time. Ghosts, goblins, Romo's under your bed.
Yeah,
there's
Romo.
A scary thought.
I'm under the covers. That's right.
Speaking of scary thoughts, I walked in the middle. Apparently, I didn't miss much. Bleep, my dad says. You were watching it, because he actually spent the night at my house last night.
Yeah, and, Bleep, my dad said, was one of the worst shows, I would say, that William Shatner has ever done. Sorry, but I'm going to be totally honest. I did not laugh within the whole half an hour of the show.
He didn't.
I looked, and I turned to Henry, and I'm like, I feel weird. Like, this is the first, like, this whole, because the whole hour I watched, I watched Big Bang Theory, and then Bleep, my dad said. Within that whole hour, I did not laugh once. Besides the laugh track laughing for me. And I kind of questioned myself. I was questioning, I'm like, why is this? Why am I? There's nothing here. Like, I just gave it a shot, but I felt weird because I wasn't laughing. And then I'm like, all right, well, next I know that I'm not going to watch this show, so let's go to Fringe. But it was one of the weirdest things. And have you ever seen the show? Did you guys watch the show last night?
What? Bleep my dad.
I did not, but I seen clips of it. I mean, it was okay. It was very cheap laughter. It wasn't
just canned laughter, like Romo was saying.
It wasn't really, it was funny, but it was dumb kind of funny. It wasn't even funny in general. I mean, I still love William Shatner. He's still, you know, adorable.
He's still the Shat.
Yeah.
Right?
But Romo, did you notice what I noticed last week, that there's no chemistry between the Henry the Sun character and William Shatner?
Or any of the castmates.
Yeah. Well, the other ones, they didn't. Well, I don't know. When I walked in, he was there. I don't know what was going on, really. But was there any reason for them to be in the episode? The older son?
The one
that's
married?
Well, the one that you said, Angel, that was from Matt TV, I think.
Will Sasson.
Not really, but what's very funny is those two castmates from Matt TV, I felt there was another sketch from Matt TV.
Yeah, that's what I felt too.
But the relationship between the son and the father was not there. I mean, this is the first time they tried to reconnect them and, you know, have a storyline about their relationship.
Reconnect with the internet episode, you know? They're trying to get internet.
That was the episode for them to get the internet. I saw the point of the television show yesterday had to deal with you know, the differences between your father, you would say, they're living in their times and the younger generation. You know, there's a difference between older people and younger kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I got. And then he didn't want change. He didn't want the internet. And so with that right there, I was just like, this is dumb, because obviously I just felt like this is what you wrote. This is what you came up with.
Well, I gotta say, that scene at the end, you just reminded me, at the end, when he's on the laptop and they're all of a sudden chatting with each other or whatever, instant messaging each other. That one, I laughed at because I think I've mentioned it on the air before. That's what we get at most offices today.
Right.
You may be standing in front of your supervisor and, you know, they'll tell you, did you get my email? No. Well, why don't you read the email? Why don't you tell me since I'm standing here in front of you?
Right. And, for me, just the whole story was just not that funny, and I just question the writing. That's all. I mean, I don't question the acting. It's just the writing of the story, of the show. And
what they're not hitting, what they're not accomplishing is when this TV show was first talked about, it was immediately, especially when we knew that the Shat was being cast as the dad, a dad that says bleep. The first thing people thought is it should be Captain Kirk crossed with Archie Bunker. And we're not right. getting that at all.
It was really flat.
Archie Bunker's funny. I mean, he's, you know, that's what the character from Family Guy is based off.
Mm-hmm.
Archie Bunker.
Because in All in the Family, Archie Bunker had... He didn't have, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine last
Peter.
Night.
Yeah.
This, which is why I was late, because we were talking about that show. He saw it, and he was comparing it to that, the Archie Bunker in All in the Family, and William Shatner's character in Bleep My Dad Says, and he was saying that because I mentioned how the Henry character in Bleep My Dad Says had no chemistry with the William Shatner character, and he was saying that the Rob Reiner character. And All in the Family had no chemistry really with Archie Bunker, but that was kind of the point. See, here it's supposed to be the opposite. You're supposed to
well, Archie is was it his son-in-law or was it his real son?
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law. There was a difference because one was a traditional, he was a conservative guy, and the other one was more of a peace active. No, more of a
from the hippie generation. Because that's when the show came out.
Yeah, he was from the hippie generation, and the other one was the conservative. You know, things are okay. Why don't you just accept it, and you know the younger brother-in-law was the protester. Yeah, that was relevant, that because that was current at the times. Right now, I mean, you got just a generation gap of technology. That's all you got between William Shatner and his son.
Yeah, which again, I find it funny how that's the only thing that connected with me of all people, is the little technology jab at the end where they're sitting on the couch right next to each other, but they're instant messaging. And William Shatner says, hey, I like this. I don't have to talk to you.
This is very funny because for me, I would say that the best the best father roles of all time that I would say that were the funniest would have to be one Al Bundy.
Yeah.
And Archie Bunker.
What about Ward Cleaver?
I mean, that's too, but those are the ones that I most remember, and Tim Allen as well from Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But those were
Richie Cunningham's dad. Happy Days.
All right, there's so many fathers. All right,
here we go.
Homer
again.
Simpson.
But I just think that the writers
had
the
cool.
Well, that too, and Peter from Family Guy. But they had the chance to really capitalize on making William Shatner one of the funniest fathers on out right now. I mean.
And to possibly have a connection with people who haven't seen Star Trek.
Well, just to be, because he's, just a good character.
That's only two people out there.
Yeah, but for the new kids that might be watching it with their family,
he's a big name star, and if you could write him very well and make him really funny, people are obviously going to be drawn to the TV show. I think the writers may have just didn't realize it, that who they had, and just wrote the character really, off of tweets, you would say.
So I decided one thing watching the show yesterday, 5 words. DVR from now on, if I even get around to it. I mean, just eventually delete it.
Yeah.
Now, the other one that I was really looking forward to is Fringe, episode 2.
Right?
This
good.
One was based in our world. Well, I'll start with you. What did you think of it? Because you're a big Fringe fan also.
I liked it, but the story plot right now is really based around Olivia and being in Earth 2. I didn't care what's happening within Earth 1 right now. I just can't wait to see next week's episode. And that's all I got. I was like, all right, cool. I see, but I want
to
see.
With this episode 2, it was kind of like Modern Family, the same thing, where this week was a lot stronger than the previous week, the premiere show. Because we got Walter. That's what everybody's there for Walter. And remember what I said, kind of prophetic with what I said yesterday on the air, that you can't eat. Because he's picking brains. What was he doing?
Doing
he
the same thing?
He was picking brains.
Yeah.
That's true. No, but it was good. But like I said, I left wanting to know the biggest story that we would agree is that it's Olivia being stuck in Earth 2.
Here's the thing about, speaking of, what do we call her? Olivia
Earth,
2?
Yeah.
Fox Olivia, whatever you want to call her. Unless... And I'm talking about the characters, about Peter especially, Peter Bishop and Walter and Agent Broyles and Asteroid and everybody.
Aspirin.
Yeah.
Aspirin.
He always calls her a different name every week.
Yeah.
This week it was Aspirin. Astrid is her real name, Agent Astrid, but he calls her Asteroid, Aspirin. What does he call her?
He's just funny.
Asterisk. Everything but her name. But what I was saying is, unless they're really, really dumb, and we know, we're led to believe that they're not, that's why they're part of Fringe Division, How can you not tell that that's a different Olivia?
Because this Olivia is really happy, but she's doing a very good job at disguising herself, because she even makes it a point that she even said it last yesterday night during the show, that by going to Earth 2, she got a sense of realization of how her life was and decided to change it, because she got an epiphany that she didn't like the way she was living her life in Earth 1. And that, you know, by seeing Olivia 2 made her realize, you know, I should be happier some more time. You know, there's a revelation. There's more to live to than just being so down. I mean,
yeah.
And
but all in all, I liked Fringe. I like where this is going.
Fringe.
Believe My Dad's is, like I said, DVR, and maybe if I get around to it, maybe I'll watch it. I delete it to make room for The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, or something.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking of, it is also officially we're starting the Spirit of Halloween here on Geek Speak Radio Show, and what that means is bringing back the spirit of Halloween. No, we're not doing seances or anything like that. Well, I don't know about Angel. She was telling me about a guest she wants to bring on. That said, no, do not bring any spirits into the studio.
Right.
Because next thing you know, the microphones will be turned off by themselves. And
they'll be hitting Rome on the
lights
face.
Will be flashing.
You never know. The studio is probably built on an Indian burial ground.
Well, we are in San Francisco. Most of San Francisco is built on Indian burial grounds. Just one of the little facts that we'll find out during the spirit of Halloween month here on Geek Speak
Now
Radio
I am
Show.
Moving. Now I'm moving.
There was that's all I had to say. That's one way to keep him away from San Francisco and away from my house.
That's true.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start it, like I mentioned all week and for the past couple of weeks. We're going to start it with one of the big films that are opening today. One of them, of course, is the Social Network. The other one is Let Me In.
Yeah.
And on Chloe Moretz's Twitter account, if you guys go on there, I have it linked up on Geek Speak Radio Show. If you go on there, she says, hey, everybody, it's out today. It's October 1st. What better way to kick off the month than with a good old-fashioned vampire film? I agree with her on that. Matter of fact, in just a few minutes, we'll have her on the phone waiting for her call. We'll talk to her, and she'll tell you herself, go watch Let Me In, and she'll tell you why, and we'll talk about maybe something about some superhero movie she worked on not too long ago and the sequel to that and some other ones that are coming up. We'll do that in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. First of all, you know what we got to do first, right?
Yeah, we do.
What?
Buzz report.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for October 1st. Here's what's buzzing right now. There's been no news since director Baz Luhrmann bought the rights for The Great Gatsby back in 2008. Not so now. Only rumors, but Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to be up for the role of Jay Gatsby, Tobey Maguire for Nick Garraway, and Amanda Seyfried as Daisy Buchanan. No word on whether Baz Luhrmann is still directing or not, but since he still owns the rights, I'm assuming he's still on board as director. In another casting rumor, Emily Blunt is supposedly up for a role in Looper with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. After Leonardo DiCaprio and Chris Pine passed on the role, Ryan Gosling is about to be offered the role of Stephen Myers in George Clooney's adaptation of Farragut North. Philip Seymour Hoffman is already cast as Stephen Myers' hard-bitten veteran boss, and Paul Giamatti will be playing the campaign manager of a rival political candidate. After considering Las Vegas, Anaheim, and Los Angeles, our friend David Glanzer sent us a press release confirming that Comic-Con will be staying at the San Diego Convention Center through 2015. The lease was scheduled to expire in 2012. No word on what will happen after 2015, but I suspect it's safe to say the San Diego Comic-Con, at least until 2015. Kiki Palmer says she's been asked to join the cast of Runaways, Brian K. Vaughan's Marvel comic movie adaptation. She's currently co-starring in the Nickelodeon series True Jackson VP. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
We're just a lot of talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Government can't control everything without controlling
the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show, Friday, October 1st edition, and kicking off officially Spirits of Halloween. Romo, get back in here.
I'm here.
You don't have to run away.
Yeah, you don't.
I was getting ready to book my plane out of here.
Between that and the where San Francisco's built on an Indian burial ground, he doesn't want to stay here anymore.
Nope.
You never know, right? I think the only place I want to move to is probably...
How about we go dig back backyard, see what we find?
Yep.
You never know, man. You just never know.
Golds or skeletons or...
You, I don't know about this. What happens when you dig and there's a burial ground under? It's a movie that you saw the other day. You were talking about it the other day. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really scary.
That'd be cool.
Don't remind me of that. I had to block that out of my childhood memory.
Aww. Until right now.
Right?
Flashback.
Now, speaking of flashbacks...
Stephen J. Cannell. You guys heard of him?
Yeah.
He made a lot of the shows that are being rebooted now. The mm-hmm. A-Team comes to mind right away. Greatest American Hero, Rockford Files, and others just passed away.
Yeah.
Last night, actually. He was 69. Got it actually here. A note from producer Dave, and I just was reading the article during the break. So... Stephen J. Cannell passed away at 69, like I said, from complications of melanoma. So thoughts, prayers out to his friends, family. There's a lot of memories there, like you said.
Yeah.
The A-Team, I know you watched that one. The show, not the new movie.
The show with Mr. T.
He made
T.
the good one, not this one.
Yeah.
Greatest American Hero, you remember that one with William Catt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that one?
Briefly, like I said, just parts of it.
Have you ever, Angel?
No, not yet.
See, she's got a new phone, one of those, the ones that has...
Smartphones.
Yeah, no, but it has the TV thing on it, the TV
app
on it.
Yeah.
That's how she watches TV shows now.
So man,
now
technology.
She's always catching up on, what do you call it, on Fringe, on...
My phone, if I was to have your phone, my phone would be dead, because I'd be using it so much.
So much. You gotta plug it in.
Right, the battery life would not last.
Although I gotta say, and I think we mentioned this once before on the air, she wasn't a big fan of texting.
Yeah,
I gotta say I wasn't either because, you know, I've always thought that it was the dumbest thing because you're holding a phone in your hand, like you can't call the person,
right?
But now for every little thing, she's like people who
one
tweet,
word,
yeah,
they're always twittering.
Hey, I blinked. Hey, Henry.
I'm here.
Yeah, right.
No, she's just calling to say, hey, Henry.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you tweet?
A little bit.
Because I mean, with those phones, I mean, we'll be twittering, like tweeting all the time.
Which has got
I'm
the
more of a
the
person.
Geek Speak. Twitter account, she's got one, mm-hmm. and she'll tweet, you know, who's coming up, like, you know, Chloe and everything is coming up. So she'll tweet with that, but she won't tweet, you know, like everybody else, hey, here's a map, come join us.
I'm eating a cheeseburger or something dumb like that.
Here's the recipe.
Yeah.
Right?
No, none of that. So, like I said, we're going to start that off, and as promised,
mm-hmm.
I said we're going to kick it off with big movie that starts opening. It's opening right now as we speak. People are probably in there or on their way to see it. If not, after you hear this interview right now, you will. No, not that movie. The real movie that we all want to see.
Yeah.
On the line, Chloe Moretz. Chloe, there?
Hey.
Hey, Chloe. How's it going?
Hello. I'm very, very good. How are you?
Fantastic. A little tired, but it's okay. So how are you doing? I know you've been doing a lot of press today. We won't keep you that much on the phone. So the first thing I want to ask you, let's get right into the movie.
I'm very, very good today, you know, just hanging out in New York, you know, doing press all day. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, let me ask you, what drew you to the role of Abby?
Well, I love Abby because it's so different than a normal vampire role. You know, it shows this deeper, darker, and grittier side of a vampire than really any other vampire movie or vampire role, basically. So, you know, it's all around different, you know, the way, you know, she is. She regrets being a vampire. She's not romantic, you know. She is romantic, but... She doesn't look amazing, you know, when she turns into a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't give too much away because we do want people to go and see it. Did you do a lot of the stunts yourself?
I did. I did everything except for, like, running up the tree and you know, walking up buildings.
Yeah, that's and easy. Also when you do the actual biting of the people, the feeding, we'll call it. How was that? Did you actually use real blood or what was that like? Because there's a little story that I read in the press kit that I was saying. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Well, the biting and the killing in the movie was really fun to do. But in one of the scenes, it was really crazy. Matt looks at me and he goes, so, Coley, can you actually drink the blood? And I was like, yeah, Matt. Sure, I'll drink the fake blood, which is like maple syrup and like just nasty, nasty, nasty. But it was like not even good maple syrup. It's like bitter and kind of like rubbing alcohol smells. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, and you know, we won't mention it, but there's a big vampire franchise out right now. How did you tailor Abby so that it wouldn't be compared to the vampires out now?
Well, you know, at first I thought it'd be kind of like the vampires out on the island. Like, I thought it'd be kind of, you know, like the fangs and the white face and everything, but then, you know, when Matt and I talked about it, he goes, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to say it, but he's like, I'm thinking dot, dot, dot. And yeah, it turned out to be this absolutely insane, craziest looking vampire I've probably ever seen on screen, and it's absolutely terrifying.
He didn't make you see, or you haven't seen the original, have you?
I haven't. I'm not allowed because it's R-rated. The parents would be very mad.
Yeah, we've seen it a couple of times. I saw it when it was in the theaters, and we saw it not too long ago, the rest of the crew here. We haven't seen yours yet. We have our tickets. We're going to go see it right after the show. The other thing is, was there any pressure on you and Cody, or your co-stars, since this is, you guys really are carrying the film? This is a sort of your first real, you know, I mean, you've been in other movies, but you had an ensemble cast with you. And this one, it rests on you and Cody. Was there any pressure when you were filming the movie?
No, you know, there's never really pressure when you're filming a film, you know. It's more of like huge expectations, you know. You know, if people hear you're a great actress, and then if you show up and you're absolutely horrible and you haven't worked on the role and you haven't even read the script like some big actors do, you know, then yeah, you know, it's not very good. But, you know, with me, I research every role and I put my heart and soul into every single character I do, and I research it so much. So, you know, even if the movie doesn't do well, or if people, you know, don't like my performance, I know that I put my heart and soul into it, and I'm proud with the work that I did. And so, you know, I'm proud of it, and people are really receiving it well. Thankfully, they're not hating it.
Yeah, I can guarantee you it's going to do pretty good, because on this show especially, people have been talking about this since it was announced, especially when Matt Reeves came on board. And then when your name and Cody's came on, they were on board right away, because they love you, your work that you've done, Cody's work, Matt Reeves. I know you're a big fan of Cloverfield. We love Cloverfield too, so we expect nothing but big things from this.
Aw, I mean, thank you so much. That's huge to even say that. I mean, you know, I work really hard, and I always hope for the best.
What are some of your favorite vampire movies, whether classic ones or some modern ones from today?
Well, Interview with the Vampire is like my favorite, you know, vampire movie of all time. And my favorite vampire, like, TV series would have to be The Vampire Diaries. You know, most people say True Blood, but I'm not allowed to watch it, so I settle with Vampire Diaries. It's, like, the best show ever.
Yeah, Interview with the Vampire. Yeah, I like that one, actually. That one starred Brad Pitt, I'm assuming, was your favorite in there?
Yeah. Him and Tom Cruise are... they're pretty amazing. But, I mean, I absolutely love, love, love Kirsten Dunst. I mean, I look up to her as an actress, and actually I might be working with her soon, so that'd be exciting.
Yeah, and you have been pretty lucky, actually, in your career. You have been working with some pretty big people, and you are, like you mentioned, we're going to work with some very, very big people, and directors especially, coming up. So why don't you preview what you can tell us of your future projects?
Well, right now I'm shooting a Martin Scorsese film called The Invention of Hugo Cabret. I also have a film called Hick with Derek Martini, based off the novel Hick. I also just booked Emily the Strange, which is very, very exciting, which is Rob Rieger's comic book. Well, it's a graphic novel type series that he created, and that's very exciting. And I also have a film called The Rut. After it's Colin Kusama is the director, and she's the same director as Jennifer's Body. which is really exciting. And I also, one more, I also have a film called The Field with Amy Mann. It's Michael Mann's daughter, and it's her directorial debut. And I also, one more, okay, I also have a film called Devil in the Deep Blue Sea, which is produced by Jessica Alba. I mean, oh, Jessica Biel, and it's a very exciting film.
Right, and this is from emails, and our, everybody here, we loved you as Hit Girl and Kick-Ass. Has anything been done on that front, on Kick-Ass 2? We know Matthew's doing the X-Men movie, so he was a little busy, but has any progress been made on the sequel?
I hope. I mean, I don't know about Kick-Ass 2. I know there's a comic book out, and I mean, I haven't been approached, honestly, yet, about anything yet, but, you know, Matthew right now is shooting X-Men, so after that, maybe, I don't know. I haven't been told anything. They're keeping it under lockdown, even from the actors, so that's from my lips.
But you would definitely come back if they asked you to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. I get in that costume tomorrow and start training immediately.
Well, it is Halloween. You can't put it on pretty soon.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. What would you like to see if they asked you to come back? What would you like to see Hit Girl do in the second movie?
I'd like to see a more grown-up side to her, you know, and see kind of her knowing what's wrong. But, of course, at some point, you have to see her, you know, go crazy and be her Hit Girl self, definitely. But I made a kind of a contract with the writer, and she promised me a purple Ducati with Gatling guns for Hit Girl. So, you know, I'm hoping.
You got everybody in the studio cheering on that one. They want to see it too.
Yeah, that'd be insane, right? With like laser pointers and like a whole gadget bar and stuff. Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, and again, we're talking to Chloe Moretz. She is starring right now in Let Me In with Cody Smith McPhee, directed by Matt Reeves, but everybody knows that already because, like I said, everybody, this audience especially, they've been really looking forward to this film. And they, like I said, they're really expecting a lot of big things from this movie.
Well, I mean, thank you so much. That's absolutely such a pleasure to hear, you know, people really, really liking my work. I go see it tonight. I mean, it's out. Go see it. Let me in.
Yeah, and before I let you go, Chloe, one last question I'm going to ask you. We're starting what we're calling the Spirit of Halloween interview series here on the Geek Speak Radio show, and that basically means we're bringing back what Halloween really means, what it used to be, because it's been, you know, commercialized, like kind of like Christmas, the meaning has gone away. Same thing with Halloween, and it's all about having fun. Yeah, the trick-or-treating is part of it, but just having fun, the traditions. So for you, what does Halloween mean to you?
Having fun with my friends, you know. I mean, I'm getting scared is kind of part of Halloween nowadays, I guess, because, you know, everyone's made it into this big Halloween horror fest and such. So, yeah, I mean, just hanging out with my friends, going trick-or-treating, having a good time and dressing up. And, you know, like Halloween is basically acting as like Halloween for me every single day. So I get to experience Halloween 24/7 every day of my life.
Yeah, same with us here. We all love Halloween here on the show. So, again, Chloe Moretz, thanks a lot for coming on the Geek Speak Radio show. And, again, well, I'm not going to tell them. You tell them to let everybody know what's out there today.
Go see Let Me In tonight, today. Go see it right now. Go run. Run as fast as you can and go see it. It's crazy. It's absolutely amazing. You know, or I'll bite you. All right, guys.
All right, Chloe. Thanks a lot.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care. So there you go. Chloe right. Moretz. And, she'll bite you if you don't
I
go
know,
see her.
Right?
Me
I mean, I can understand her on that perspective because I'm a very calm person, but I get to a certain point where I might bite you.
Oh, no. I don't want to get rabies or I don't want to turn into a vampire. No, that is awesome, though. I can't wait to, man, let me in. I can't wait to watch it tonight. I mean, we were going to go last night, but, oh, I'm so pumped up for this.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we stayed up watching the Shad and mm-hmm. Fringe and then just yeah. talking about it, and then we realized, it's kind of late.
Yeah, right? No, we saw the original one was Let the Right One In, mm-hmm. and I saw trailers for Let Me In and looked very similar. And just I'm really excited to see, you know, Chloe do her job as being Abby in the role of, you know, this
vampire. It's a very intense role.
The vampire for Let the Right One In was just, the role itself was great. And I've seen the trailers, like, Chloe, man, you did a really good job. All I have to say is,
it's a really intense and complex character.
Right.
So, hope you congrats like to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad, you know, when I asked her that, I'm glad she said there was no pressure. And I'm sure Matt, who's a great director of Cloverfield, you love that movie, finally, that you got to see it.
Right.
And, you know, this entire audience, of course, they love Cloverfield and Matt's work. I'm sure he made it easy for both of them, because this movie, like I told Chloe a second ago, it hinges on both, on the kids, the performers, and the press kit that they sent me, that Overture Film sent me, it mentions that when they were deciding who to cast, Matt had that in mind, that whoever they cast as the two kids, the vampire, and it's not a spoiler because everybody read the book and knows the original movie, the vampire and the kid, Owen, well, that's his name in this version, Owen, the original was Oscar.
Yeah.
It all hinged on their performance, because you saw finally the original one with me last night, so did Angel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We all three of us watched it. The whole movie centers on those two kids.
It does. I mean, that's the whole point of the movie, is their relationship. Some kid that's teased, and, you know, he basically becomes friends with the vampire, and they have a strong bond, and, you know, the other kid is, you know, finally coming to terms of, you know, defeating these
bullies.
Bullies. I'm not going to give any more. We'll go watch Let Me In, but, you know, it was a really good, it spoke a lot to kids and adults, you know, about not only vampires, but, you know, just the human emotion of teasing people and kids being bullied, and just, you know, it's a great, great, great movie and also book. I know there's certain changes that were done, but, you know, it is Hollywood. And
yeah, Matt based this movie on the book and part of the original film that came out. And he added a few of his own things, of course.
Yeah.
First of all, the setting. In the original, it's set in Sweden.
Yeah.
And here, it's set in New Mexico.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, though. But I guess it does snow in New Mexico. But is it always dark at night?
Well, you're going to have to wait for laughter.
All right.
Chloe will bite you. The other thing is, Chloe mentioned it also. She hasn't seen it yet, that or Kick-Ass or any of the other movies, because it's rated R. Even though Chloe and Cody are in this and they're the stars, it is not for kids. This is not Twilight or any of the. This
no
is a
twinkling.
Real vampire movie. You do see what vampires are known for doing.
And that's, drinking blood. Regardless, this is what I loved about this movie, was it didn't glamorize being a vampire. Like, what we get now is the glamorization of being a vampire, how cool it is. They did that really well with Twilight, and given, you know, even Interview with the Vampire, you know, being a vampire is not a lavish thing. You really just want blood, and that's all you're going to do is
kill.
And
it doesn't matter how
you
get it.
And it's a monstrous thing. If you watch the right one, let the Right One In, she did not look like, she looked like just an average kid going out to get blood. She didn't look all,
like,
you know,
pretty and glamorous and twinkly.
She looked like a monster. To me, she looked like a lemur.
A lemur?
Yeah. There's a scene of her in the tree, and her eyes are just, she looked like Gollum. She had this bug eye thing going, and she just wanted blood. You know, she looked like, she didn't look human. You know, that's what I'm saying. Vampires are not.
Well, they're not human.
They're not human. They are, you know.
Immortal.
Creatures of the night. Yeah, immortal, right? And feasting on blood. So, Chloe, thanks for coming on the show. If you want my blood, you can take it anytime. I'm cool with that.
God, you gotta check it first.
As she bites you, I don't think you'll become as talented as her, but
yeah,
you can try.
Right?
And I was going to say, actually, she had to go because, you know, she's doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that in the beginning. She's doing a lot of press today. She's in New York.
Yeah.
And we got lucky to get her on because she's doing radio stations, TV, you know, obviously, because the movie comes out today.
She's one of the hardest working girls out there. She's really talented.
Yeah,
you
heard all the projects that are coming up.
Yep.
Man, can't believe it. And she gave us some cool, you know, stuff behind Kick-Ass 2, maybe. But
and possibly future other projects.
Yeah, because Kick-Ass 2, the comic book, just came out a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
It's October now. Yeah, 3 weeks ago. How can I not know it's October 1st?
Right.
But it just came out three weeks ago, Mark Miller's Kick-Ass 2. And at the end of the comic book, and it's here somewhere, you guys are reading it, my Kick-Ass
right
comic
now.
Book. At the very end, and everybody knows this, now spoiler alert, Hit Girl kind of gives up the superhero thing.
Yeah, that's some big stuff.
So there may not be a hit girl in Kick-Ass 2, not the movie in the comic book.
But you never know. I mean, given that there might be a third Kick-Ass, hopefully, you never know where this writing could go and take you.
Well, if you want to know if she comes back or not, you got to go out to the comic book stores and get Kick-Ass 2, Balls to the Walls, it's called. and it just came out 3 weeks ago. It's out there, and I'm sure, just like the movie, it's going to be loosely based on the comic book also. And, Mark Miller wrote it. He's going to help out on the script. And Matthew Vaughn, as soon as he's done with X-Men First Class, will come over and bring everybody back. Hopefully. Yeah. See, with Matthew's not dumb, despite what he said a few months ago about the X-Men movie and the superhero genre.
Yeah.
He's not dumb. He knows that the star of the movie was Chloe, was Hit Girl. I mean, and everybody who went to see it agrees that she stole that movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's who, of course. The whole scene when she – just imagine a young kid kicking some butt. I mean, that's the awesome. That's where she won me over. I mean, Hit Girl is one of the coolest character. I mean, I might want to be Hit Girl for Halloween.
Ill in purple.
No, I'm just joking about that. But you see the importance of how this character Hit Girl was on the movie.
Works on Chloe, not so much on Roman.
You never know. It is San Francisco.
That's what.
Unless you sing Purple Rain, but that's different.
Well, that's why I'm moving. No. Yeah. And Chloe doing...
It's Friday, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
She's going to be doing Emily the Strange. I heard about that.
I'm a big fan of that.
Early this week. And,
that's great.
For her to really, sound like she's really excited about. She's going to be perfect for that role.
Emily the Strange, yeah, it's a graphic novel, but it also started as just a brand name, clothing brand name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get into that. I'll probably have her back, Chloe back again for a whole hour. Because, obviously, because the movie's out today, everybody wants Chloe today.
Yeah.
But once it calms down a little, like Monday, we'll probably have her back again. And she'll stay for the whole hour and we'll talk about all that stuff. Because she also does, she doesn't design it, but she does have her own clothing line.
Yeah.
I don't think it's out in stores yet. I only read a little bit about that two nights ago. It's actually on, because we follow each other on our Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's all linked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. The official movie site is on there. Chloe's Twitter is on there. You can see all her messages. But she sent me a link, and she actually did a commercial that it's linked up on there on her Twitter also, where she's acting like a fashion model, but it's all stuff, shoes, that stuff that she likes, her style. She doesn't.
Yeah.
That's one thing I like about her. 13 years old, but she's already got her own style.
Yeah.
A lot of people who have seen Chloe, she's been in 500 Days of Summer. In mm-hmm. other movies, and she's even done some TV work. She even did the voice when she was like 10, 9 years old for Winnie the Pooh.
Yep.
She was the replacement for Christopher Robin, which was been there
really,
for
really cute.
80 years. But she's done a lot of stuff and
she's talented. That's all I can say.
Hit Girl is really what catapulted her into everybody's target. Now everybody, she, like I've said before on the air, Chloe is like the opposite of Betty White. Betty White has all of a sudden resurged at the end of her career.
Yeah.
Chloe is a supernova right now at the apex of really of her career right now.
Man, and she's only 13. Could you believe it? A kid that young to be at a stage of her life where people would dream to be that, as an
actor?
The best
thing about Chloe, and again, we didn't get into this because you just, we got to hurry up and get her to the next interview. But the best thing about Chloe is that her family is a really, really strong support there.
Yeah.
Unlike other kids who, we won't say any names until you love them.
I already know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but their parents actually contribute to their downfall.
Yeah.
By allowing them to go down the wrong path. But with Chloe, they watch them carefully, and she said it herself. They don't let her watch her own movies that she's in.
Right?
Like she's not going to see Let Me In. She hasn't seen Kick-Ass. She hasn't seen any of the rated R movies. She doesn't watch True Blood. There's no rating on it, but her parents know that she's not quite ready for that yet.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, if you just right now you heard her a little bit, but if you listen to any interview with her, she sounds like a 30-year-old. Matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were watching some of her interviews because he was all excited, like, oh, Hit Girl's going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm really going to listen. but we were watching some interviews, and he was saying, and we saw some interviews from when she was younger. She's 13 now, but when she was younger, 12, 10, 9.
Yeah.
Doing press for some other movies that she's done. And he was saying that, for a 13-year-old, she sounds a lot more mature than a lot of the old actresses that are out there now.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, too, because I also told you the same thing, too. I thought she was very mature for her age, And to be, yeah, like I, to be at a position in Hollywood like that at 13, there should be, there's so much pressure on you. I mean, just because you're so young, but she handles it
very well. She has a lot of discipline.
Yeah, very, you know, she's really, she's a mature woman, you would say, not given that she's only 13, but she handles herself how an adult should. And I'm very surprised.
How other actors and actresses should.
No, but yeah, that too, but she's only 13. Come on, as a kid, I mean, you weren't acting and doing that when you were 13. I know I wasn't, but to see someone like that, I mean, wow. It blows me away.
Put it like this. What were you doing when you were 13, Angel?
In school, reading.
What were you doing when you were 13?
Like I said before the show, I was young and middle school getting into fights. And
whoa, and that explains a lot.
And being a kid and just having fun. And you, Henry?
What?
13, probably, yeah, when you were 13.
I was on the radio, believe it or not.
So you're the male version of Chloe Moretz.
Chloe's cuter, though.
Yeah. Oh,
that's true.
I do have a face for radio, I've been told.
Right?
I guess that means, well, that's not a compliment.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Wait, you made me think there. I'm like,
So there you go. Chloe Moretz, and again, Let Me In is out in theaters. I'm going to say in stores. Out in theaters right now. Not yet. A few months that have to pass by, then we'll get it on Blu-ray and DVD. But right now, it is in theaters. We're going to go see it. You go see it. You heard Chloe. She said, run. Don't walk. Run over there. And go see it once, twice, three times, The Vampire, because
otherwise she'll bite you.
Exactly. So we'll be back. Tell you what, we heard from Chloe. How about from the director and her co-star? Want to hear from Matt Reeves and Cody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do that. We'll do that when we come back.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Tech Report for Friday, October 1st. PayPal executive Laura Chambers said that the company's iPhone app would be updated to allow users to deposit checks by taking a picture of the front and back of the check. The update is apparently due in the next day or so. Speaking of apps, a group of researchers has found that some Android apps send potentially private information to remote servers at ad networks. Android apps must gain user permission to access certain types of data, but they don't necessarily have to tell the user how it's being used. Another study has found that even though there are laws in place in various states making it illegal to text while driving, there's been a rise in accidents caused by texters. Two solutions have been suggested. One, to have the phone disabled while the car is in motion, or to have the phones guide the drivers to adopt better driving habits, sort of like GPS. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, the real one, addressed the question of whether Facebook was considering building a Facebook smartphone, except he didn't really address the question. He answered by saying that, quote, people mean many different things when they use the phrase to build a phone, unquote. He said that Facebook is not looking to compete with smartphone developers, nor is it interested in developing its own handset operating system. Panasonic has unveiled a hair washing robot that takes a 3D picture of the user's head so we can remember the shape when shampooing and massaging it with its 16 rubber fingers. The robot was developed to help overstretched healthcare staff, but how soon before it's in Romo's house? That's the Geek Speak Radio Show Tech Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
The best in internet talk radio.
A mind-bendingly ingenious plan to control the universe.
We're building the best internet talk radio on the planet. TalkZone.com. Calling all fanboys. It's time to get back to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com with your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Boo, we're back. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Just talked to Chloe Moretz. Again, she's out. Well, not her. But the movie is out. Let Me in theaters as we speak. Run to go see it. We are after the show. However, we heard from Chloe, one of the stars. How about we hear from the director and her other co-star?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Oscar Owen.
They changed the names, right?
Yeah. Chloe is Evie. Evie was the original one. She's Abby in this one. And Oscar has been changed to Owen, played by Cody Smith McPhee. Director Matt Reeves. This comes courtesy of Collider.com, like everything else we get. The news stories, everything you guys hear on the Buzz Report. This one comes from Bill Graham, not that Bill Graham, from Collider.com. But he attended Fantastic Fest last week. And he got to interview Matt Reeves and Cody. They showed the movie there, and the cast was there, except for Chloe. So And I got a note from, not from them, from Steve saying, hey, you get to talk to Cody. You're lucky. He said, yeah, because they wanted, they all wanted to talk to Chloe, but we got her. But they did get Matt and Cody. So listen to that interview now. Let's flash over there to Fantastic Fest. And here it is, courtesy of Collider.
A little bit about kind of, did you go through and say, this is what I want to keep from the book, and this is what I want to kind of throw off to the side?
To some degree I did, yeah. I mean, I knew that the thing that I was the most drawn to doing was the coming of age story and putting the story as much as possible through Cody's character's eyes. And I wanted to take even the elements that I wanted to use that were subplots in the book that were much less so in the Swedish film, I wanted to take those characters even further and put them and look at them through the prism of coming of age. So the idea that, you know, Virginia, who's one of the neighbors, she has her own story in the novel, which is fascinating, but I wanted to, because we only had the time for one movie, to focus sort of through the point of view of the kid. I wanted it to be much more about how he looks out into the world of adults and discovers sort of sexuality and sees the way that adults fight and finds all of that kind of frightening and also kind of attractive and interesting in a way. And so I tried to sort of filter things through that point of view, and then there were things from the book that I wanted to take in that weren't in the Swedish film, and then there were other aspects that were really about trying to take it and putting it into an American landscape that I remembered from growing up at the same time in the United States. This Lindquist book takes place in the early 80s, which is when he grew up, and I was like, okay, I can see taking his story and being very, very faithful to it, but translating it into a world that I remember. So that was kind of the process of the adaptation.
Talk a little bit about the challenges for the shoot, and how long can you hold your breath?
That is actually a really good question, because the back to that other one, but the day that we were actually at that pool, it was a 12-foot pool, and everyone had like snorkeling stuff on and the oxygen, and they had, oh, it's the awesomest thing, they made like a tower underwater about probably 11 feet or something close, but they had it so I could stand up on it, so he held my hair and I didn't move around. But it was cool because I could, like, stand on it and then jump off, and it was cool and I could climb up it. But obviously it's 12 foot, so it was really deep, and I couldn't hold my breath a lot. And there was this guy there that was, like, the main pool person, and he was helping us, kind of like the lifeguard. And he holds a world record for holding his breath underwater for, what was it, like 3 minutes?
I don't know. Incredibly long.
It was long. And he taught me some of the stuff, and I went underwater with him, and he taught me, like, you gotta breathe in 20 times before, like, big deep breaths all the way through, and then a huge run, and then go down. And I stayed underwater for the longest and was on camera for 75 seconds. And he weighted me down all the way to the bottom, and I'd just sit there and then look up and then just slowly go back up. It was awesome. It's one of the coolest days of shooting.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the makeup on the vampires. Obviously, I mean, that's always a key thing for vampire films.
Sure.
And then also talk a little bit about the decision to go with CGI.
Well, for the makeup, what I wanted to do was, because the movie was so much about coming of age and about adolescence, pre-adolescence, that moment when you're sort of, your body goes out of control and hormones are sort of surging, and I wanted it to be, you know, sort of, that seemed like a really good parallel, kind of analogy for adolescence and the idea of that kind of out of control that happens at that time, and sort of being a vampire and the idea of how, you know, when Abby loses control, she's in this very primal state and she really can't sort of monitor anything. She has to fight herself, in fact, not to to kill Cody's character in the scene where he's cut himself. And so I wanted the makeup to reflect kind of adolescence gone wrong. So her skin becomes quite bad, as if she's, you know, suffering from acne, and her teeth, they're not traditional vampire teeth, actually. She has messed up teeth the way that kids before, you know, if you need braces, and I did, your teeth come in all kinds of crazy ways, and sometimes you have to find a way to, you know, marshal the you know, to get your teeth in shape. And I wanted this vampire thing to be as much as possible a metaphor for the sort of madness of adolescence. And the desire in doing I tried to do CG that was as understated as possible, and much of it is done in wide shot, specifically because, you know, a lot of those shots begin with Chloe, and then there are handoffs at a certain point, and I wanted you not to know the point at which we handed off her. She's actually incredibly, as anybody knows from Kick-Ass, she's very, very physical, and she can do anything, actually. And we actually, there were some things we did with our stunt people which didn't quite look right because it was clearly not the same person. And so we were like, oh, Chloe, we really need you to do it. And she was like, do it. And she came in and she was laughing. And she actually, as wonderful as our stunt person was, she would top her because she was just amazing. So I tried to do CG that would seem as naturalistic as possible. And it was because there were some things that I wanted to see her do that were impossible to have anyone do. And, you know, some of it's stunt work, some of it's CG.
There's actually a lot of stuff that is CG that people don't notice. Like when Richard Jenkins, his whole, like, mouth is showing. I saw before when it wasn't like that, and he just had, like, this kind of latex kind of mask thing on. And then I saw after, and it had, like, blood and burns and all these things. It was really good.
And actually, there are you know, people probably will look at it and say, you know, maybe they were wondering if that's CG because his face is carved away, or certainly when they're seeing Abby, what she does, which maybe represents about, I don't know, 5 or 6 shots. So people are probably thinking there are probably like 20 VFX in the movie. We actually have about 200. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff which hopefully you're not seeing at all. And the idea was as much as possible to make the CG stuff as invisible as possible.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, I mean, this is your second big adaptation. What gravitates, or I mean, do you gravitate towards this material? What's
I don't really know. I think it's well, the first film I did, the first feature film, was one in Australia called Romulus, My Father, and it was a really dramatic true story about this young boy growing up, which has been a lot of the stuff that I've done. It's about these boys growing up and a lot of father and son kind of stuff. And this was different in that way, that it didn't have a father and son connection. It actually didn't have any family connection. It was more just about this boy growing up and doesn't have a lot of friends and meets this girl next door. It's like his only friend. So it was very different to the other stuff that I've done, but emotionally it was kind of the same. And I think that's what attracted me to this. And I'm trying to do like some other lighter stuff now.
Okay. And real quick, was the Boy George reference intentional?
Was it intentional?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, which one? Are you talking about the song?
The cashier.
Oh, the cashier. Well, that's Chloe's brother. And he absolutely was dressing up as Boy George. And it's funny because it's a total generational thing. Like, Cody, we're talking about it earlier today. He watched it, he was like, I don't quite know what that is. And yet if you're of a certain age and you watch all the people who are a certain age in the audience, the moment he stands up because you've been listening to all that Boy George stuff, it's kind of like people just laugh. So, yes, it was definitely intentional. Definitely right. Intentional. And her brother Colin was, like, very excited about it. I was like, would you do this? And he's awesome.
He's really cool. He was with her the whole time, and he's the one that helps her with the roles and stuff. Very like a lot about like how my dad and I work, and it's cool. Her and her brother work together.
Yeah, and he was totally willing to and excited about dressing up as Boy George. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
All right.
Yeah, and that's one thing I forgot to mention. Chloe, as I mentioned, her family is really close to her.
Yeah.
Her brother is actually her acting coach for this one. And he also, look for it, not an Easter egg, unless you don't know who it is, but he's in Let Me In also.
Is he one of the bullies?
Matt just said, no, Matt just mentioned it. He plays a cashier, actually, and he's dressed as Boy George, as a Boy George song is playing. Because this movie is set in the 80s,
yeah.
Just like the original.
You know,
wow.
For some reason, I thought the movie Let the Right One In was in current times, and I just thought the kids there just dressed a decade.
Yeah, because when you were watching it, I saw you making faces when it started. I was like, what?
Well, these kids dress weird. No, but now that I know it was set in the 80s, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Let's get back in the DeLorean and go to the 80s and watch some vampires.
Mm-hmm. Or just get in my car and go to the theater after
the
show.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Which one's easier? DeLorean. We don't have to squish in there.
Yeah, plus we all fit in my car, not in the DeLorean.
Or a phone booth.
We'd have to put you, Romo, on the roof.
Well, on the roof, tied down.
Well, you know I'm Mexican, right?
Yeah.
And I could fit a lot of people in my car, so.
Not in the DeLorean, though.
Right? That's true.
That'll be funny seeing a bunch of clowns come out of your car. Like, you know, the tiny car and then clowns come out.
Did you just call us clowns?
No, right? His car. That tiny little car.
It's not a clown car. It's the next Knight Rider.
The Romomobile.
Yeah.
Right? But,
so, let's take another break. We'll come back and we'll talk more Halloween stuff.
Yes.
But again, thanks to Chloe Moretz. Out in theaters right now, Let Me In. And I don't know why I keep saying it, because you guys are all emailing about it and asking me to get Matt and Chloe. Matt and Cody, they were busy. I mean, you got them there on tape at least.
Yeah.
But we got Chloe live, so there you go. Now you guys got to do your part. Go out and see it. We'll see you out there. Yeah, you know what we look like. You've seen geekspeakradioshow.com. You've seen our pictures, except for Angel.
Yeah.
They keep asking, what does Angel look like?
Well, she's a vampire. That's
what he said. You know why? So you know why she's not on there?
Why?
Medusa. You guys ever heard the story?
Oh my god.
There you go.
Sure.
So anyway, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk Halloween.
The Geek Speak Radio Show. We'll be right back.